Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. For when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. All of Proverbs chapter 2. Then looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Verses 1 through 4, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful gift of family and loved ones. Thank you for the opportunity to know you, to be able to serve you. Thank you for the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And thank you for the opportunity we have of not only being able to know you and walk with you, but thank you for the privilege of being able to pass on to our children, inviting them to come to know Christ and inviting them to grow up in their faith and teaching and training them to become vibrant kingdom warriors living for you every day of their lives. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. Empower us to be the evangelizing and discipling church you've called us to be. Make us all wiser stewards of our time, gifts, and abilities. We thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your commands. Heavenly Father, help us to follow your commands. We know that they are good. We know that they are made out of love. We know that they're made for us to live better lives the way that you have made us to live. And so, Heavenly Father, I ask that we would yearn for your ways, that we would yearn for your instruction, and that we would delight whenever you give us strength, and we would delight in being good stewards in the fields that you have placed us. In your holy, holy, holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, we've had the privilege on a number of broadcasts over the last few weeks to share a number of families that are working together that were a part of the Ten Commandments Project. We've had young people that their parents came on the broadcast, and the young people had a chance to, well, we had a chance to share their speeches, or they had a chance to share their speeches, and had parents coming on and commenting and sharing about their journey with their children. Well, we had the privilege of having a number of children who we didn't manage to get the whole family on, but we do have their speeches. And so today we're going to feature some of the beautiful speeches, some of the many beautiful speeches that we did receive as a part of the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. And so we do appreciate you tuning in. Before we get to that, though, I want to share from an article, as we often do, an article that's a discipleship article to help and encourage you, especially parents and or grandparents, in the way of discipling our children. This article is entitled Aggressively Discipling Our Children. As we faithfully disciple our children, we're engaged in serious spiritual warfare and need to take aggressive steps to battle the kingdom of darkness and fight the devil and his demonic army. You see Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. So we as Christians must be militant in our approach to being serious disciple makers. We're helping our children to become well-equipped warriors for the battles and the battlefields of life in this world. Here's some verses to consider, and then I will share more a little later. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. Then in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Again, Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. We live in a very dangerous, tough, and perilous world. This describes the world for all of us, for adults, children, and youth. The world has changed and continues to change in so many ways. Some very serious and even critical questions for many a concerned parent include the following questions. What kind of world is my child going to have to grow up in? What are the very serious challenges and dangers he or she will have to learn to navigate in this world? How can I most fruitfully and wisely prepare each of my children for the perilous world they must live in? The answer is Jesus Christ. He is the answer to how to prepare our children for the trouble, difficulty, tragedy, and dangers all around us. The Lord Jesus comes to save us and to give us abundant life. What exactly does that mean? In a nutshell, we need to ask Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and be the Lord and Savior of our lives. Then we need to do our part to encourage each of our children to make this same step in their lives as well. Once they're saved, we need to aggressively disciple them. We need to be very deliberate, faithful, and serious about carrying out this critical work of discipling our children, which helps to equip them for the battlefields of life. One of the reasons this is so critical is because we and our children have a common enemy who is very serious about being just that, our enemy. Be mindful that the job description of Jesus and that of the devil are both found in John chapter 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Again, John chapter 10, verse 10. We already stated and alluded to what Christ has come to do, but we must be aware of the devil's full intention for us and for our children. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We must be mindful that the devil wants to swallow our children alive. His agenda for them is to steal from them, kill them, and to destroy them. The devil has no compassion whatsoever for children. He hates them and wants to destroy them one way or another. A powerful picture of what the devil both thinks of our children and what he wants to do with them is found in the word abortion. Yes, the devil wants to destroy our children. Instead of destruction, disciple children to help them find and hopefully follow the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for wisdom from God on how to proceed forward in the work of discipling our children. See James chapter 1, verse 5, James 3, 17 through 18. Here are some suggestions and fruitful habits to consider putting into practice in the crucial work of discipling your children. I know some may laugh at a few of these suggestions, but consider the best and worst case scenario without the suggestion instead of dismissing it as impossible. The suggestions are these. Invite and encourage each of your children to decide to ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart to be the Lord and Savior of their lives. Have your children start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in the Word of God daily aloud to you. You may think this may take a lot of time, but in reality, this could be done by your child in around 15 minutes or so a day. Be a role model for them in your own personal Bible study, helping your children to get a solid foundation in the Word of God in their hearts cannot be emphasized enough. The Word of God is light, peace, joy, strength, and so much more. It's filled with the ability to bless. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, says Psalm 119, verse 11. Take time to talk and share about the meaning of what each of your children read from the Word of God on a daily basis. Pray with your children every day and teach them to pray as well and pray for them daily. Have them pray daily prayers such as the Lord's Prayer, the Prayer of Jabez, the Ten Commandments, and Psalm 91. Seek to teach and train your children to become real prayer warriors. Be a model for your children in your personal prayer life. Let them hear you pray for them and call out their names every day in prayer, and allow them to hear you calling their names daily in prayer. Have an audio Bible playing at strategic times in your home so that everyone in the home can hear. Times such as when they're getting ready for school in the mornings or while they're doing tasks around the house, etc. Faithfully attend and be a part of a strong Bible-believing church that faithfully teaches and preaches the Word of God. Next, do not allow your children, 15 or younger, to have any electronic device that has access to the internet, computers, or cell phones in their rooms. Let them use flip phones that don't have internet. Many adults and children are literally addicted to their phones. And sadly, too many children are addicted to pornography and all other kinds of toxic information that they got off the internet. Parents, monitor what your children watch on TV and on the internet. Screen the video games you allow them to play. Have full access to their cell phones and be able to check their phones to monitor what they've been viewing. The internet is a whole world in itself. And if children and youth have full access to the internet, they typically are exposed to all kinds of toxic things that they should not have access to. We can pick up there on the other side. The article is entitled Aggressively Discipling Our Children. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, yeah, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven,
Music from the Walls Group, the song simply entitled The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge, and we will be featuring, we're looking to feature some of the speeches shared by some of the participants in the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. But I've been sharing from an article entitled Aggressively Discipling Our Children, picking back up in that article. Pray with your children every day and teach them how to pray as well. Have them pray daily, prayers such as the Lord's Prayer, the Prayer of Jabez, praying the Ten Commandments, and Psalm 91, etc. Seek to teach and train your children to become real prayer warriors and be a role model for your children in your personal prayer life. Let them hear you pray for them and over them. Allow them to hear you call their names in prayer every single day. Also, have an audio Bible playing at strategic times in your home so that everyone in the home can hear the Word of God as it plays. Times such as when they're getting ready for school in the morning, while they're doing tasks and chores around the house, etc. Faithfully attend and be a part of a strong Bible-believing church that faithfully teaches and preaches the Word of God. Also, don't allow your children ages 15 or younger to have any electronic device that has access to the internet, computers, or cell phones. Let them use flip phones and don't have internet access. Many adults and children are literally addicted to their phones. And sadly, too many children are addicted also to pornography and all other kinds of toxic information that they got access to by way of the internet through a cell phone or a computer or an iPad. Parents, monitor what your children watch on TV and watch on the internet if they do have access. Screen the video games you allow them to play. Have full access to their cell phones and be able to check their phones to monitor what they've been viewing. The internet is a whole world in and of itself. And if children and youth have full access to the internet, they typically are exposed to all kinds of toxic things that they really shouldn't have access to. And parents, be mindful. Many people are being, quote-unquote, discipled by the things they see and read about on the internet, television, and movies. In other words, they have much more exposure to all kinds of negative content than they do to end up having with the Word of God. To put it another way, too many are simply being discipled in darkness. What are you exposed to what you're exposed to consistently helps to shape and influence your mind and your life and your thinking. So to spend time, possibly 20 or 25 minutes a day, discipling your children, only to have them spend 4 or more hours on the internet can have tragic results. This can be like taking 3 steps forward and 7 steps backward, and that is not progress. The work of discipling our children is serious business, and as Dr. James Dobson said in the title of one of his books, parenting is not for cowards. So parents, we must be about our Father's business every single day and moment by moment throughout the day as well. Again, the title of that article, Aggressively Discipling Our Children. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We're going to take time to get a chance now to listen to some of the speeches or portions of them. The first presentation actually is a montage from some of the speeches that were a part of the Ten Commandments Project. Let's listen to that montage of speeches from the Ten Commandments Project right now.
You shall have no other God before me. What does that mean?
God's first command, you shall have no other gods before me, confronts our culture absorbed with worship of self. We hear phrases like, you do you and follow your heart. But these drive me crazy because it's not about us. It's about lining ourselves up to God and His ways and His purposes for the world.
When we put God first, we learn to love better, to be kind, and to make good choices.
You can't serve God and the world at the same time. It's just not possible. It's either God or the world, because God is a jealous God and demands to be served by His creation that He created.
Living in this world comes with many distractions. They are beautiful mountains, rivers, valleys, and jaw-dropping creatures. They're all part of God's creation. It's really tempting to adore these things and even begin worshiping them. But none of these things are who created them. Only God is the one who created them.
As Christians, we trust the one true God and we worship Him only. What are other gods? They are created by man and they have no power.
Fake gods cannot make it rain for your crops, and they cannot light the altar like God did when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal and Ahira.
So as Christians, we think we're not going to bow down to any other gods. But even if we spend more time doing other things like money, video games, more time with our sports, like we're just really gonna practice and we don't go to church or pray or hanging out with our friends or watching TV, and we spend more time doing these things than we spend with God, that's considered a false idol. We can still do these things as long as we put God as number one.
Let's try every day to remember God is number one. He deserves our love, our trust, and our time.
The Ten Commandments were given as a law to the people of Israel, God's chosen people. Yet, as Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Do I always keep the first commandment perfectly?
No.
Does God still love me when I don't obey the first commandment? Yes! God sent His Son to save me and everyone because He loves us. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead to forgive everyone's sins so we can live in heaven and worship Him forever.
And as believers in Jesus, we need to tell people about Jesus to help them turn away from their fake God or idol and turn to the one true God, because that's what God and Jesus would want us to do. Thank you, AFR, for letting me talk about the first commandment. I was so glad to do it.
Amen. That was a montage put together by American Family Studios of portions of a number of the speeches that were a part of the Ten Commandments Project. But we're going to take time now to listen to some of the speeches in their entirety by some of our participants. And we're going to start off with a set of three of the speeches. The first one by Abigail, the second one by Alexandra, and the third by Emery.
Hello, my name is Abigail Gordon, and I am 12 years old. And my speech is titled, The Importance of the Ten Commandments. The following is a poem that my stepdad learned from his dad and taught my stepbrother and me. This poem helps anyone that learns it to memorize all of the Ten Commandments in order. The poem is titled, The Ten Commandments in Verse. Love God and Him alone. Bow down to neither wood nor stone. God's name refuse to take in vain. The Sabbath rest with care maintain. Respect your parents all their days. Hold sacred human life always. Be loyal to your chosen mate. Steal nothing, neither small nor great. Report with truth your neighbor's deed and rid your mind of selfish greed. The remainder of my speech is about the importance of not only learning, but also applying the Ten Commandments, and much more specifically, the first one. The commandments are most important primarily because they are the basis upon which the principles of both law and ethics were established in what is now called Western civilization. These principles, however, can be found all around the world in any place where Judeo-Christian values, the gospel of Jesus Christ, his golden rule, and his greatest commandment have been taught and have had influence over the past 2,000 years. The first commandment in particular is very important because it emphasizes the first priority that we should all have as believers. That is that we not have any idols in our lives, or rather things that we spend more of our time with or have more devotion to than we do to God. Not only that we love any other gods in our lives preferred before him, but rather that our sacred devotion should be to him and him alone. Jesus recognizes this priority for all of us in what is called the greatest commandment, namely that we love God with our whole heart, with our whole mind, and with all our strength. And only then can we secondly love our neighbor as ourselves. Knowing the importance of the Ten Commandments, obeying and observing them, is essential in determining God's will for your life. In conclusion, the commandments is all about loving God and putting him first in our lives. The first commandment is the basis for all 10 of them. And if you obey the first one, it enables you to obey the other.
The 10 commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. This means God should be placed first in all aspects of life, including thoughts, desires, and actions. Nothing shall hold a higher place in a person's life than God. This commandment deals with idolatry, worshiping false idols and false images. Basically, the first commandment is God showing us that he belongs number one in our lives. 2, you shall not make for yourself an idol. This one is following up the first one. It's saying it does not want you to worship anyone more than God. 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. This means not using God's name as a curse word or in a disrespectful manner. Also means not making promises in God's name, then breaking them. 4, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This means to remember to set aside a specific time for rest and worship of God. It speaks to a balance between work and rest. 5, honor your mother and father. Speak to the importance of respect and obedience for parents. The fifth commandment is used for basis of a functional society where respect and obedience are valued. 6, you shall not murder. This is about protecting life because life is precious. It highlights God's value for every life created in his image. 7, thou shalt not commit adultery, emphasizing staying away from sexual immorality and unfaithfulness in marriage. Also speaks on guarding oneself against temptation. 8, you shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Speaks about lying, slandering, and gossiping against people, betraying confidential information, or trying to tarnish someone's reputation. This speaks on God wanting us to live with truth and integrity. 9, thou shalt not steal. Do not take things that do not belong to you. God created the world and allows us personal ownership of things we buy and create. We should not take things that do not belong to us. 10, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. This is speaking against envy and jealousy and fixating on others' possessions. Your focus should be on gratitude for what you have.
Hi, my name is Emery Golden and I'm 14 from Georgia, and today I'll be doing the 10 Commandments Challenge. Here we go. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto any graven image. Thou shalt not say the Lord thy God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. The first commandment says to only have one God and not worship other gods or things. This is important because it tells people to believe in the one true God and not get confused by other things. When we follow this rule, it helps us to stay loyal and trust in God. I think it is there to remind us to put God first in life. I also think it's first because it's the most important one to start with. So to me, it tells me not to put anyone or anything above God, because God is above all, because God above all rule and authority. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. That was, again, speeches by Abigail, Alexandra, and Emery, all participants in our Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge, all doing a great, great job. Father, thank you again for every young person, every child that participated in the project. And thank you for the opportunity for them to be a part of the project, Father. Bless each of them indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mighty upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're featuring speeches by some of the participants in the Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. We'll be right back. Dunson Oyakhan with Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're featuring some of the speeches that were shared during as a part of our Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge. And so we're going to listen to three speeches coming up now, one by Amber, the other one by Laura, and then the next one by Paul.
The Ten Commandments, this is 20.
First commandment is?
You shall not have any gods before me.
The second commandment is?
You shall not have any idols.
The third commandment is?
You shall not take God's name in vain.
The fourth commandment is?
Keep the Sabbath day holy.
The fifth commandment is?
Honor father and mother, Exodus 20 and 12.
The sixth commandment is?
You shall not murder.
The seventh commandment is?
You shall not commit adultery.
The eighth commandment is?
You shall not steal.
The ninth commandment is?
You shall not lie.
And the tenth commandment is?
I don't remember that one.
Covet.
You shall not covet.
Hi everyone. Today we are going to be talking about the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the second one is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And the third one is, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And the fourth one is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the fifth one is, thou shalt honor thy mother and thy father, so that thy days may be long upon the land which thy Lord thy God hath given thee. And the sixth one is, thou shalt not kill. And the seventh one is, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the eighth one is, thou shalt not steal. And the ninth one is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And the tenth one is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And today we are going to be talking about the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So as Christians, we think we're not going to bow down to any other gods. But even if we spend more time doing other things like money, video games, more time with our sports, like we're just really going to practice and we don't go to church or pray or hanging out with our friends or watching TV, and we spend more time doing these things than we spend with God, that's considered a false idol. We can still do these things as long as we put God as number one. And that was my speech on the first commandment. My name is Sarah Lee. I live in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I'm homeschooled and in second grade and 8 years old. Bye!
Hello, I am glad to talk about the first commandment. It says that nobody shall bow down to any idols before God, and we are God's followers, right? So we should follow his commands. King Nebuchadnezzar learned that he should bow down to the one true God. In Daniel 3, it talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. First, King Nebuchadnezzar built a statue that was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Next, King Nebuchadnezzar told everyone in Babylon to bow down to the statue. So they did, at least almost everyone, except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then, King Nebuchadnezzar gave them a second time to bow down to the statue, but they still didn't bow down to it. In Daniel 3:16-18, it states, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer to you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image you have set up. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was super mad, so he threw the men into the fiery furnace, and he told his men to crank up the fire 7 times hotter. Then, while the three were in the furnace, King Nebuchadnezzar saw a fourth man that was shining bright like the Son of God. He asked his men to make sure that there were just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar told his men to take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire. Then, astonishingly, the men were not burned up. They didn't even smell like smoke, and their clothes weren't on fire. The king was so very sorry about making people bow down to an idol and throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. Later, the king tore down the statue down. And the last verse of Daniel 3 says, Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar learned that an idol is not real, but the one true God is, and that we should bow down to him. There are many other fantastic stories with God in them. For example, Daniel and the lion's den. God kept the lion's mouth shut when Daniel was in the hole. Also, David and Goliath. David proved that God is bigger than anyone and that he was real. All around the world, many people don't believe and love Jesus, but many people do. And as believers in Jesus, we need to tell people about Jesus to help them turn away from their fake God or idol and turn to the one true God, because that's what God and Jesus would want us to do. Thank you, AFR, for letting me talk about the first commandment. I was so glad to do it.
Amen. Amen. Again, those last three speeches were one by Amber, the other one by, the second one was by Sarah, and then the third one was by Paul. Again, all the young folks that participated did a great job. I believe we ended up with around 35, between 35 to 37 speeches this year. Every one of them was powerful. Everyone was encouraging and well done. So thank you again for all those parents that helped their children to participate. And we do appreciate each and every young person for doing their part. Father, thank you again for every participant in the Ten Commandments Project. And Lord, thank you for the children of all those persons that are part of our listening family. Thank you for our children in the body of Christ. Father, flood the body of Christ. Flood our nation more and more with your Holy Spirit, and more raise up more and more ministry that will happen amongst children and young people so that they would come to know Christ and live for him. In Jesus' name, amen. In the last portion of the broadcast, I want to share at least a portion of an article entitled Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 33. Then Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may turn out well for you, and that you may live long on the earth. Well, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. The best defense is an offense. This is a statement that we may hear in sports situations often, but nowhere is this statement more true than in the kingdom of God. It's also true specifically in the Christian family. An important question one may ask is, how can a believer get on offense in spiritual warfare? Very simply, faithful obedience to God and his word puts you on offense spiritually. We're each called to read and study the word of God diligently, then faithfully obey what we learn. When Abram packed up his family and moved to the place God had told him to move to, he got on offense. And as long as he obeyed God, he stayed on offense. When Moses, in obedience to God, walked into Egypt and confronted Pharaoh and told him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go," he was on offense. Moses went on offense when he obeyed God and spoke these bold words to Pharaoh. So when our families and in our homes, when we're wise enough to passionately obey God in the way we guide, mold, and shape our children and families, we're going on offense. When husbands and wives start to pray together daily, they're on offense. When parents begin to pray daily with their children in their home, these parents are going on offense in their homes. When husbands and wives seek to diligently love each other, sacrificially as we're called to do, they are on offense in their marriage and in their homes. When families and individuals ignore the Word of God, disobey the Word of God, or just neglect the Word of God, it leaves us to function on defense, and you might say the best way that we can. Disobedience to the Word of God opens the door for the devil and allows him to have access to our home and our relationships. It gives the devil opportunity to attack our marriages, families, and homes. It can quickly put the family on defense. One may ask, why is obedience so important in the kingdom of God? The Word of God is the wisdom of God, the strategy of God, and the counsel of God. And God's word always works when we live it out, God's word is a sure strategy. For time reasons, we'll end the reading of that portion of the article. But if you'd like to get a copy of the article is entitled Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Email us, joseph@afr.net. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you never invited him to your life to save you and make you brand new, today is a good day to make that step. If you'd like to make that decision and commit your life to Christ, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we would like to be in touch with you. Please email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to forward to you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch with us. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get copies of either the articles that we shared earlier, again, the first article was entitled Aggressively Discipling Our Children. The second title, Spiritual Warfare, the Christian Family on Offense. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'd be glad to get one or both of them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.